and know many things through Pastor Lamb there. And if you know anything about Pastor Lamb, he's a hardworking man, and he will teach you a work ethic if you don't have one. Amen. That's what he did. And he had a stroke here recently, and I know that he did not stop. Listen to this. Had a stroke. That very next week, their assistant pastor, who would have taken over, got COVID. Their staff guy that they had just hired, his name is Dan, was on vacation. And their fourth staff guy, his name is Joe, came down with COVID as well. And so the pastor who had just had a stroke and was recovering was the only one there to handle the business of the church that week. And on top of all of that, they had just started their building renovation. And so he got right back into it and started working. And that's just the kind of man he is. I was also very privileged when Pastor Smith, many of you know Pastor Smith from Mount Orb, when he retired, he went up to Michigan. I actually followed him right at his retirement and lived in his basement and studied with him. And if you want to know how that went, I'll talk to you after the service and give you some just great blessings that I was able to be a part of there. But no, so much knowledge and, of course, so much there to draw from. And so Matthew chapter number 21 tonight, or I'm sorry, this morning, not tonight, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. Matthew 21, and we're going to be in verse number 12, and concerning the church this morning. And I think there were some great points made in our Sunday school time, which I got to be a part of today, and really some great thought-provoking points made. And I think this morning, as we consider the church and where the church is at a whole, as far as the country and really the United States goes, now I believe this, I believe we are toward the end times, amen? Amen? I believe we're in the last days. And so I believe this, I believe that Scripture points to some of what those last days will look like, and I believe that there's evidences of those all over our world today. I believe the Bible talks about in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, right? It goes through an entire list, covetous, proud, boast, they'll boast, and blasphemers. We can see all of these different things, again, coming to fruition in the world that we live in. And it's so easy as Christians to become frustrated with the world around us. Amen? We do that, don't we? We get frustrated with the world, but here's what happens is we forget to look inwardly, because that revival and really where the bar is set is with God's people. Amen? There was a point made this morning in the Sunday school, and we're going to jump into Scripture, I promise. And it was this, that the Pharisees knew that Jesus would rise on the third day. They knew that. In fact, they set soldiers out there in expectation, but then you look at his disciples and where were they? They were bringing spices to anoint his body. See, the people that followed God didn't expect God to do what he said he would always do. But the people of the world were still watching. And friend, this morning I think that you and I need to realize that the world is watching us. They're watching our actions. And because of those things, we need to be very careful what we show the world as pertaining our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So look at Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 12. Going to read a few verses, and we'll jump into our message. We'll pray here in just a moment. If you stand for the reading of God's Word, thank you. Verse number 12 reads as follows. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Let's pray and jump into our message for this morning. God in heaven, we love you. We need you. And God, if we meet in this place without you and forget to invite you in, we are here in vain. And so, Lord, this morning, we invite you into this place. We ask, God, that your Spirit now would dwell among us, and we pray, God, that you'd work in the heart of each and every believer. We pray, Lord, right now that all the distractions and all the different things of life that might keep our minds and our hearts from you, right now, Lord, would melt away and fade to the background. And, Lord, we pray that you would have the preeminence in our minds. So, God, work with us, please. Move in our hearts. Stir us up as children and as believers, and help us, Lord Jesus, to be an example of who you were, and then to live out your will here on earth. We love you. Put your preacher behind the cross and speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Well, like I said, I got saved when I was 16. And so I had many experiences in the world before I ever got to be in the church. And so many of you might be in that same situation. Many of you were privileged to be born into church, amen, and to be raised up, and praise the Lord for that, amen. Don't you dare despise your testimony because you haven't had it hard. I would have much rather had it your way than my way because I had a whole lot of junk to get out of the way so God could use me, amen. And so that's just with the cards I was dealt. That's when I got saved, and that's the experience I had. And I praise the Lord for that, that I had a time and a place where I got saved, amen. But here's what I know. I got to experience so much of the world before I ever knew Jesus. And so I had preconceived notions, I had ideas, I had all these different things that had already been indoctrinated inside of me, what I ought to think about the church, and not just the church, but what I ought to think about Jesus. And these things were drilled into my head even as a young man in school and really just being busy about the world, not looking for anything against God, but just naturally the world ran its course there. I was taught in middle school in sixth grade. We did a world religion class. It was a part of our social studies. And I thought that I had learned about Christianity then. They went through all these different religions and were very detailed about what they believed and all these different things. They came to Christianity, in which I professed I was a Christian but did not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they taught our beliefs as Christians. And I remember thinking, there's something missing there. They taught that Christians believed in God, and they taught that we go to church on Sundays, and very just basic things about what Christians believe. And here's what it was, and here's what clicked later on. They never once mentioned the name Jesus Christ. Now, how in the world can you teach on Christianity and not mention the name Jesus Christ? Friend, this is what is happening to our children. This is what's happening in our world today, is they're being indoctrinated by the world, growing up void of any kind of knowledge of Jesus. And if it is something that they've learned or heard, it's from a celebrity or a sports star that has no, amen, place talking or even giving concept to what they don't understand. And these are the ideas that they walk into the churches with, and this is the preconceived notion they have towards God. Here was one of those preconceived notions that I had, and I had actually heard this verse before, and I've actually heard this scripture before I was saved. And this was what somebody pointed out to me, the one time Jesus slipped up in his ministry. That's what I was taught before I got saved. I was taught that this was the one time that Jesus sinned or broke character and freaked out inside the temple. Now, friend, understand me. That is not what happened in our Bible this morning. Amen? It's not what happened. They call it the temple tantrum is what they call it, right? You got toddlers with no, you didn't laugh at that. Okay, it's fine. They call it the temple tantrum, though. And they say this is the one time that Jesus slipped up and could not take it and broke character and began to flip tables and all these kinds of different things. And friend, here's what I would direct our minds to, and this is what I'd really like to bring our hearts back to. Who has the right to correct the temple? Wouldn't it be Jesus himself? Amen. Now, praise the Lord, you have a great under-shepherd, don't you? Amen. That's a place to say amen. Amen. You've got a great pastor in the man, Bryson Thompson, don't you? Amen. A man of God who looks to serve God, surrendered to Jesus. That's what you want. But here's what I'm here to tell you this morning. He is not the head of the church. Amen. Neither am I the head of the church that I've been so privileged to pastor at. But in fact, the scriptures point to and conclude that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So concerning the temple of God, friend, it's not our business to change, nor is it our business to conform. Listen, friend, but it's Jesus's business what belongs inside the temple. Amen? So Jesus didn't break character, nor was Jesus acting out of anything that he had rights to do. Jesus was actually in the confinements of really his power and his jurisdiction. That's exactly where he was. So Jesus walks in, and of course there's things being done here in this temple. Look at verse number 12. It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." The very first thing that we see in verse number 12 is this, that Jesus went in and cast all them that bought and sold in the temple. Now, we're going to come back to this verse in just a minute. We're not going to flip anywhere, but we're going to come back to this verse. So tuck it away in your mind, the very beginning of that verse. But here's what I want you to see, that there were people in God's house taking advantage of, watch this, and profiting of themselves because of the practice of worship. Now, this day and age was different than our day and age. This temple looked different than our churches. And here's the reason for that. We have an all-sufficient sacrifice in the man Jesus Christ, amen? But they did not have that. So these Old Testament sacrifices that we see, these temples, these tabernacles, all these things that we see all through the Old Testament, again, they made these sacrifices. You see it all through the Old Testament as you read, lambs and goats and all these different things. They would bring those, watch this, as temporary appeasement for their sins, never a permanent sacrifice. That's why they always had to go back. That's why they always had to get more. That's why the priest was the one in the Holy of Holies and there wasn't a chair, amen? He was always standing, always making sacrifices in that Holy of Holies. This was the practice of the Old Testament. We know, as we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning, without blood, there was no remission of sins. So they had to continue these sacrifices again every time the people would sin. Now, you think about church on Sunday morning, it'd be a whole lot different, amen, if we had to do it that way. Your week would probably be a whole lot busier if you had to find a lamb and go sacrifice it and put it on an altar and burn it every time that you sin. I don't think I'd leave the altar, amen? So this is what's happening now. This is where they are, is in this time, in this place where getting right with God, listen to this, is not convenience. Do you understand that? Getting right with God is not convenience for the Christian. You say, how is it not convenient? Well, like I said, there was much sacrifice involved in making yourself right with God. You had to provide the lamb. And friend, what did God ask for? He didn't ask for just any lamb, amen. He asked for the first fruits. He asked for the best. In fact, if we go back to Genesis chapter number 4 and look at Abel and Cain, what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? He brought the first fruits of his what? His veggies and all the different things of the land. But what did he not bring? He did not bring of the first fruits of those lambs. He did not bring a blood sacrifice. So Cain's sacrifice, therefore, was less honorable than Abel's. Abel did nothing wrong besides simply follow God's command. But Cain understood something. Or I should say this, Cain was confused about something that you and I often are confused about today. And that is this, is the sacrifice worth it to maintain a relationship with God? See, what happened here in this time and this place was they had come up with a convenient solution for getting right with God. How many moms cook dinner every night in the room this morning? Anybody? Okay. How many dads cook dinner every night in the room this morning? Okay, a couple of you, okay. How many of you would rather stop at McDonald's on the way home than cook anything? Amen? No, we have just a few McDonald's. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if it's the lights or what it is. McDonald's chicken nuggets, y'all. Amen? I mean, come on now. French fries and what'd you say? We're praying for you, man. We're praying for you. Amen. Now, listen. How many of you would rather stop on the way home and pick something up than stop and slave over the stove and cook something good for your family? Now listen, this is the very mindset that America has become so susceptible to, and that is this, that everything must be convenient. Don't we see that everywhere? Everything must be convenient. And let me tell you this, it's not a new mindset. It's not. Look at this. All the way back in Matthew chapter number 21, they were struggling with the exact same mindset. Can I tell you what was happening? It says this in verse number 12. He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers. Watch this. And the seats of them that sold what? Doves. Here's what would happen is they would set up these tables and these booths around the temple of God, in the temple of God, that people could pass through and pick up a quick sacrifice on the way in, that they had something to drop at the altar. Not something that was prepared, not something that was slaved over, not something that cost them hardly anything, but here's what it was. It was the McDonald's chicken nuggets on the way home that would never satisfy, amen? Junior church is saying, no, those McDonald's chicken nuggets satisfy. They don't satisfy. They might be good, but they don't satisfy. You always have to go back for more. Here's what happened is they were sustained by just this small amount, watch this, of worship that they were practicing in. Here's what they were doing. They were keeping the tradition of bringing a sacrifice, but they'd found a more convenient manner in which to produce it. And friend, I'll tell you this, the work of God sometimes is a slow work, amen? It's not always fast. I wish that we could have the McDonald's converts, amen? I wish that they were in and out and ready to go. Man, I wish. But you know what? That's not how it is most times. Mm-hmm. It's slow. Someone gets saved and slowly they get in church and then the Holy Spirit begins to work. And many times, not till years later, do you ever see the Lord use that person in a major capacity. And praise the Lord if you got plugged in right away and started serving. I'm not saying anything about you, but listen, here's what happens. It's a slow work, but that doesn't mean it's not worth it. Amen? Here's what I believe. I believe as far as the church goes in America, we've got some churches this morning that Jesus was not invited to. The doors are open, the lights are on, the heat's running. Well, I guess the AC's running this morning, right? Everything's going and good, but Jesus is not there because they're not concerned with Him. In fact, I'd venture to say they're not even really concerned with worshiping Him. Here's what we've done is we've now brought in this doctrine of self-worship. Amen? We talked about some of that in our Sunday school lesson too. We worship ourselves. Think about this with me. What has everything in life been catered to nowadays? You, as an individual. This cell phone, praise the Lord, they're great. Amen. They're wonderful. I can call sick people. I can call lost people. I can send wonderful. I can do all kinds of great things. I can carry my Bible with me when I don't have my. There's so much good that this thing does, but here's what it also does. It allows me to have my own little empire that nobody else is a part of. And this thing is sometimes the only relationship. What we do is we build all these things around us. And we forget about Jesus even in the midst of worshiping God. There are churches open this morning that are not worshiping God. Isn't that a sad truth? It's sad. Hey, listen, there might be Christians in this room this morning that are here. Not for God. Not because Jesus saved you, but because your mom made you. Or because your wife's going to nag you when she gets home from church if you don't go, amen? Or because your grandma drags you. Here's what I'm saying is there's people that have been saved that still don't understand this concept that the worship and the sacrifice is worth it. Let me give you a very true statement about my life. I never found anything that I gave up for Jesus that Jesus couldn't replace and make me more joyful for afterward.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing. I can't go any category in my life and say, Lord, I gave that to you, but you didn't give me. I can't do it. I can't name one area in which Jesus has failed me when it comes to giving things over to Him. Here's what I know, friend. The sacrifice is worth it. I want you to see this. There were some in the church that were there solely for their own personal gain. Now, does that sound like Christians nowadays? Are you live streaming this morning, brother? Okay, I got to be careful what I say. I've heard people say something along these lines. I don't take pride in this church anymore because you're painting that trim white instead of leaving it wood. I've heard people say, I'm not going to come to this church anymore if you switch from pews to chairs. I've heard people say all kinds of crazy things. And here's what I know. It's not about worshiping God. It's either about tradition or it's about their own self-benefit, not the benefit of others. Listen, friend, if you were outside sitting on rocks, you could still worship God. Amen? In fact, there are people in the Philippines that do it this morning. You know, there are people all over the world that have nowhere near the facilities that we have, and yet we get so stuck and so fixated on these things, they become idols. Here's what we have as America, is we have a Christian church that is no longer about Christ, but is more about myself. And that's the line that we draw. Now listen, let's stay with that mindset of convenient. Let's make that our line this morning. For how many Christians is convenience the line at which they draw for worship? How many people do you know like that? They want to be a Christian, they want to worship God, but when it comes to being uncomfortable, that's the line that they draw. God could not possibly expect me to be uncomfortable, right? God doesn't expect me to go outside of my comfort zone and make myself nervous or make myself sick because I'm serving Him. God would never expect that. Can I tell you how each and every single one of the apostles died? Besides John, who died in exile on the island of Patmos, they all died a martyr's death. That doesn't sound comfortable to me, does it to you? No. And you know what, friend? I don't think that any of us have really faced that extremity in our lives. You say, well, Jesus would never call me to be uncomfortable. No, friend, I think that's exactly what he calls us to. In fact, I think he calls us to the point where we're uncomfortable so that we might grow. Amen? You think about growth and how that happens. We got any ripped people in here this morning? Anybody just real strong? Point them out. Who's real strong? Oh, the fingers are going right over here. What's your name, brother?
Logan.
Logan. That's the name of a strong man. Amen? Logan. Oh, I'm so sorry.
My name is Bethany.
Bethany. Okay, Logan and Bethany. Okay, so watch this. So Logan, just bear with me for a second and correct me if I'm wrong, okay? When you're trying to build muscle, one of the first things that you want to do when you're building muscle is break down the existing muscles so that they repair themselves and grow stronger. Amen? So in other words, when you're working out, if you're not lifting above what you're used to lifting, nothing's ripping, nothing's tearing, nothing's changing, you might stay the way that you are, you might even stay toned, but you're not gaining muscle mass. Amen? Here's what happens, and here's what we know, just because of the physics of our body, we have to lift more than what we did before to grow. If we want to get stronger, then things have to give. Muscles have to stretch. Things have to tear. Things have to become uncomfortable that we can grow stronger from those experiences. So let me ask you a question. If you never grow, whose fault is it? It's not the Lord's. Isn't the product of the Lord's work always the same? He grows, Christian believe. Here's the problem is we don't put in the same amount of work person to person. I get defeated when I go to the gym because I see somebody who's faithful to the gym, amen, and then I see me in the mirror. And I like to say I'm faithful when I talk to people, but Planet Fitness is ripping me off, amen. They get $10 a month from me, and I tell you what, I hardly go. And you know what I do? I get discouraged when I look at somebody who's been so faithful. And I look at myself who's not been faithful, and I think, why in the world are the results different? And I have to remind myself, it's because you're not committed like you ought to be. If Jesus has failed you, I put that in air quotes, do you understand that? If he's failed you, you might want to look at your service. You might want to look at your worship. You might want to look at the sacrifice that you've put into being a Christian, and then answer the question truthfully, has Jesus really failed you, or have you failed him? Here's the problem with Christianity today is we've drawn the line at convenience. I will not go above and beyond being convenient for Christ's sake. The pastor ought to preach for 30 minutes and be done and we can all go home. Amen? No, good job. You guys are trained good. Amen? There was not one amen there, brother. That's good. I'm impressed. He ought to preach for 30 minutes, make his point, send us out the door, we're good to go. Amen? That's what people think, that it ought to be so structured that it's not inconveniencing them at all. Listen, friends, sometimes the work of God is just flat out inconvenience. I tell you what, I had one of the busiest weeks of my life last week. And I'm telling you, I've not lived long, but buddy, I'm telling you, if it gets worse, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Amen? We've got no staff people at our church, it's just me. So I'm trying to take care of all kinds of different things. We got a building renovation that starts Monday of this next week, literally tomorrow, that I still have to run and get supplies for. We had a funeral on Friday, a wedding later that day. We had all kinds of things going on Thursday. And all through that week, things were just crammed. And I tell you what, even I will do is get the mindset, Lord, why in the world do I have to go through so much? I think, buddy, you better pick up your big boy pants because if you're ever going to grow, you're going to have to learn to carry that weight. Amen? Amen? We get to that line of convenience and we say, Lord, you're pushing me farther than I ever wanted to go with this thing. But I'll remind you what line Jesus went to. He didn't draw the line of convenience. In fact, the scripture goes something like this. He sweat drops of blood for my sins. Didn't he? That doesn't sound convenient. He carried a cross past the point in which his physical body was able, and they had to grab somebody else to carry that cross for him. That doesn't sound convenient. And then he was beaten without complaining, and he was smitten, all these things, and then he was crucified without railing. That doesn't sound convenient. Well, Pastor, you don't know what's happened to me in my life. God loves everybody else, but he doesn't love me. Hey, listen, friend, we'll get together, and I'll play you the world's smilest violin with you. Amen. And we'll throw a big old pity party. And we'll hug. And there can be tears and tissues. But at some point, if you want to grow, you got to get over it. Amen. That's tough this morning, but it's truth. You got to get over it. And you got to realize that God is going to grow you if you're willing to let Him take you. Amen. Here's the second problem. Not only have we drawn the line at convenience, but now there's really no sacrifice involved in our worship. Now listen to this. I'm not saying I'd like to go back, and I'm not saying that it was better back then than it is. I'm not saying that at all, but just bear with me for a second. Imagine having to do so much work to prepare to be right with God. Now listen to this. And then fast forward to today, where you can show up to church in a suit, and that's as much preparation as you need to do that people think you're spiritual. They had to put in all that work to be right with God. But today, all we're focused on is what we look like. We show up, amen, and we look like Christians. We sound like Christians. We know the right things to say, and we can say that we're doing enough. Friend, here's what we've got to do is get out of the lackadaisical mindset that thing just comes about, amen. The Bible says something like this, putting off the old man, amen. And then Ephesians chapter number 6, it says putting on the armor of God daily. So I've got to take off what I am naturally and put on what God wants me to be. That's something that happens each and every day of my life. It did not happen one time and it does not sustain me for the rest of my life. It's something I have to put on. Here's what I know. There's no more sacrifice, it seems, in the church. People are not willing to serve. That's why you have weddings and banquets and chairs are still set up and tables are still sitting there and food's on tables and people are leaving the door rapidly. Why? Because they've got things to do. They've got places to go. Not concerned with the pastor who's by himself cleaning up all those tables. Not concerned with being inconvenienced in any way to serve the Lord. Amen? That's why we're here to be served rather than to be serving. And friend, we've got to get that mindset right this morning. You're not here to be served. This is not a production. If you don't like the music, that's okay. It wasn't catered to you. Amen? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Amen? Amen. It's praise to Jesus. Right. And maybe this morning you need to realize that there is sacrifice involved in worship. You say, well, the pastor offends me sometimes when he speaks. Listen, I offend myself sometimes by the things I hear and see myself do. I'm thinking, man, what are you doing? We need grace, don't we? Amen. We've got to learn that there's sacrifice involved with this worship. I want you to see this as well, okay? So we've been over this just in brevity, but let's look at it in depth. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. So we looked at the man Jesus Christ. We looked at, of course, that he had the authority, he had the right to walk in. But I want to show you why he had the right to walk into this temple and cast out all these things that didn't belong. I want to give you a verse. And maybe this morning you're struggling with surrender. Maybe this morning you're struggling with this Christian life because you think it is too heavy. And you say, Pastor, you cannot have picked a worse message to preach to me today because I'm about done and I'm about tuckered out and I'm about to throw in the towel and this whole Christian thing. You listen up and you look at this verse. 1 Corinthians, watch this, chapter number 6, verse number 19. Watch this verse. Bible says this. What? Watch this. Know ye not that your body is the what? Temple. What? Of the what? Of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, watch this, which ye have of God, and ye are not what? Your own. You have the mindset you're doing too much and serving God too hard, and God's asking you too much. Here's what you're not doing. You're not serving for Him. You're serving your own body. Didn't you realize that when you signed up for this Christianity thing, that you literally gave that body that was once yours over to Jesus? Don't you realize that? You are now the renter, amen, and He's the landlord. Amen. You don't own it anymore. That's not your house. When you sell a house, here's what you do. You sign a deed that goes to that new owner. That is their house. They don't have to call you when they paint the walls. They don't have to call you when they tear down all the ugly things they didn't like that you did to the house. They don't have to call you about anything. Why? They own the house. Now follow me. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Now follow me. If we agree with that, apply the same logic to your life. If you got saved, you're no longer the owner. Jesus is. So friend, I don't care what you want to do. Amen. I get to go back to my church. I can say that. I don't care what you want to do. I don't care what your opinion is. Uh-oh, got quiet there. Hey, I don't care about your preferences. Amen. I love you in Jesus' name. They'll watch this. Here's why. Because it's not my temple anymore. You know, these commandments were not written with my preferences in mind. So why do I read them through those goggles? Yep. Amen? I heard one of the saddest things in the world. There was a YouTube video, and sometimes they roll up in your recommendations and blah, blah, blah. And here's what it was. It was seven different Christian leaders that were all tasked to answer the question, is homosexuality a sin? Now, friend, we ought to be able to clearly answer that. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
We ought to be able to clearly answer that. There's no tiptoeing. There's no gray area. There's no dancing. There's no treading lightly. There is a definitive answer on that subject. And so Pastor Joel Osteen, he was on there, and there were some other guys that I forgot their names. And there was a Christian singer or two that were in there too, because, you know, they're important and they're led of God to do what they do, and, you know, we need to hear their opinions. And so these seven Christian leaders were compiled in this YouTube video answering the same question asked by an interviewer, is homosexuality a sin? And I tell you this, almost every single one of them, besides one man, and I should have got his name, but I don't have his name, could not answer the question or refused to answer the question and danced to the point that they were talking about something completely different by the time that they were done answering that question. Mr. Osteen, who I'm not such a fan of, said something like this, in my ministry, I try to stay in my lane. And my lane is not making other people uncomfortable. That's what he said. That's not what I said. That's what he said. As a man of God, can I just make something real clear to you this morning? I don't have a lane. Amen?
Amen.
I don't have a lane. You know whose lane I'm in? Or whose lane I should be in? It should be God's lane.
Amen.
I don't have one. Friend, the problem is we've opened these verses up to our interpretation, which, by the way, Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 2, 19 through 21, chapter number 1 clearly warns us about, says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein you do well that you take heed as a light that shines through a dark place, till the day dawn and the day start rising in your hearts. Watch this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture was given by any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Ghost. It wasn't written by us, so it's not to be interpreted by us. Amen? It's to be read as it is. I don't want to hear what you think the Word of God says. I want to hear the Word of God. Amen? Don't read it through the goggles of your preferences. Don't read it through the goggles and the confinements of your life and what you've experienced. Read God's Word for what it is. Hey, listen, friend, I want to just further this thought and I'm done. I want to look at the temple itself, okay? We talked about some of those folks that get so offended by pews and trim, and we've talked about that, okay? But your church has multiple rooms, amen? It's not just a sanctuary. You guys have a wonderful building. The Lord worked in a great way, amen, to give you this building and to be here and the land and the playground and all the great things that you have. There are multiple rooms to this building, and let me just draw a picture for you in your mind. Here's what we do as Christians. We take the biggest and the best room. Let's just say the sanctuary, because we're in the church and this is a beautiful sanctuary. And you give this to Jesus. And you say, Lord, concerning my body, concerning my life, this is the area I give you of this temple. Now watch this, and if you're not careful, and here's what you say next, and stay out of everything else. Amen? Isn't that what happens? We say, Lord, you can have this part of my life, but everything else, every other room, you stay out of. I've got junk in there. That door's locked. That room's under renovation. Don't go in there, Jesus. Amen? When it comes to the temple that is now Jesus's, we try to keep off limits areas of our life where we don't want Jesus tinkering in. Can I give you my last thought? It's this. Concerning the temple, watch this, consider the state of the church that allowed this to happen. Listen, it's not just the money changers and the people selling doves are at fault here. It's the church, amen? It's the temple that was allowing these guys to set up camp realizing that they were getting rid of sacrifice and worship in the practice of their worship. They allowed these things to happen. We can't just blame the world. We've got to look at ourselves and say something's wrong with us if we're letting these things be a part of our churches, if we're letting these things take over, if we're letting these ideologies and these different things grip us. There's not just something wrong with the world. There's something wrong with the way that we're worshiping. Here's what's happening is we're keeping rooms of our life locked to Jesus. Lord, you can have every part of this church, but you cannot have that one part that I love so much. You can have every area of my life, but Lord, that one sin, I cannot let that one go. You stay out of that room. I saw a skit at church camp one year, and it helped me as a new believer. And these girls were doing that, and if you were a part of it, you know somebody's, but I'm so sorry, I'm going to butcher it. I just know what I saw and what I took from it, amen, which is usually what happens anyway. And they had a box on the ground, and what they did is they put God in that box when they wanted to sin. They brought him out when someone was sick, amen. They brought him out when life was hard or when struggles came. They tugged him real fast, Jesus, get here now because we need you. But when it came to sin or whatever they wanted to do, they shoved Jesus back in that box and closed the lid and taped it over. Isn't that what we do in our lives? Isn't that what we do if we're not careful? Hey, listen, friend, isn't that what this church was doing? Isn't that what this temple was doing? Weren't they putting God in a box and saying, Jesus, we know that this is your temple, but hey, stay out of it for right now. This is more convenient. Don't come in here and try to change things, Jesus. There ought to be some red flags when that starts happening in church. Amen? Don't go changing things. Things are convenient. We've got things just right where, man, things are easy and smooth sailing. And listen, friend, that doesn't mean that everything's okay. Amen? Here's what we need to realize. There is real, authentic sacrifice in worship to God. Hey, listen to this. And if you want to have real and authentic worship, you've got to have sacrifice. You want to be here this morning, have a great relationship with God. It is not going to come just by sitting in a pew on Sunday morning, nor Wednesday night. Nor is it going to come if you go out to JCPenney's and spend all the money in the world on suits and look great when you come. It's not going to change a thing. What will change something is you and me opening our hearts for examination to the Word of God. What does Hebrews say? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing him to dividing asunder a soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God is for. Not a coaster at home on the coffee table. You open yourself up and you say, God, look in me and examine me. And God, the things that you find inside this temple, here's what I surrender to you. They're not mine anymore. I'll give those places and I'll give those things over to you that this might be, this is my last thought, a habitable temple for you, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I have the opposite of what the majority of the world has, and I have a mother-in-law that I love dearly. Amen. Amen. I love her so. She might be watching this. I love her so much. And here's why. Because she is so mothering and she is so caring. I was dating my wife before we were married, and I was friends with her brother before I was pursuing her, okay? And so she was at a friend's house. I stayed the night with her brother at his house, which happened to be her house. But so anyway, we were going to the church that night. It was during a revival meeting. We were meeting at the campgrounds, and we had shifts set up to pray for the campground through the night, and it'd be security and some of those different things. And so it came about 3 a.m., and I'm from a family that, and you have to honor your parents and obey them and all the, and I'm not dishonoring anybody when I say this, but it just wasn't the same in that loving category, okay? Do we have anybody like that in this room this morning? Amen. I can count on the number on my hand, the number of times my dad said, I love you, things like that. Mom didn't really ask what was going on through the day. And I love my mom. She's here today. My dad's passed away, but that's just the house I grew up in. So it comes about 3 a.m. It's our shift to go pray at the campgrounds. And Michelle, my mother-in-law, comes up and wakes me up. And first of all, you got to know how she tucked me in. She tucked me in. I was like a 17-year-old boy. She tucked me in. That was the first thing. With a big fluffy comforter, which I now own. Amen. It's in my house now. But she tucked me in with that thing. She woke me up with hot coffee. If I didn't want the coffee, there was a glass of milk. If I didn't want the milk, there was a glass of orange juice, and there was also a glass of water with ice. She had four different drinks on a platter for me when my bushy head, right, popped up off that pillow, wiped the snot off my face, or I mean the spit off my face, right? And she had all those things prepared for me right there. She had a warm coat and all these things to go and pray for this kid. She is the most mothering person I know. Listen, friend, here's what I know. We get so used to being supplied for, we get so used to being taken care of, that that's what we expect inside the church rather than serving, rather than investing in other people. Here's what happened. These guys got used to the sin that they were around and let it occupy the temple. They let it become a part of their worship. They let it into this sanctuary that was supposed to be pure and dedicated to God. So friend, concerning not only this church, and by the way, this church is it's up to Jesus what happens here, amen? It's up to Him. But even outside of this church, you gotta realize this, your body is no longer yours anymore, it's Jesus's. And so when He asks you to do things, it's no longer, well, I don't wanna do that. It's no longer, well, that's too hard, or I don't want to go there. That's not what it is anymore. Now it's, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here am I. That's the response. That's the appropriate one. Yes, Lord, here am I. I'm ready to do whatever You call me, wherever You want to send me, whatever You want me to do. God, I am surrendered to Your will. Use me. And the last piece of the puzzle is your vessel be clean that God can use you. Amen? What do we have to do to keep it clean? We've got to continually weed out the junk. And friend, I'll tell you this, I love your church, I love your pastor, I love my church, but I'll tell you this, if we let things coast, the junk will come in. And if we don't take time to clear out the junk, it'll pile up and pile up and pile up. And at Victory, we need probably 20-yard dumpsters in 5 different locations on our property to get rid of all the junk in barns that they've just stored up over the years. Get rid of the junk so that it doesn't come a major project later on. Amen? That'll be a part of each and every one of our lives. So let that temple be clean. Realize who the temple is, of course, owned by. And then this, get out of the state of complacency that the church exists in nowadays, which is the apathetic mindset that I don't need to serve, I don't care to serve, I don't want to be inconvenienced, I don't care. That's the mindset the church has as a whole in America today. Listen, friend, that's what we are here to change as true born-again believers. Amen? We don't want to just give it up to people that don't really love the Lord. We want to shine forward as examples for Jesus Christ. So here at Assurance Baptist Church, friend, listen, you've got the opportunity to do that this morning. Here's how, by responding to God's Word. Not by being hearers only, but by being doers of God's Word. Amen. Taking the words that are poured into you, taking the messages that God brings, and then allowing them to affect your life and your hearts. And do this morning, if you would. Open the temple up. And ask Jesus a question you might not have asked Him before. God, is there anything inside this temple that you wouldn't have to be here? Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about your husband. Don't worry about the kids sitting next to you. You, for one second, think about yourself. And open up your temple. And then be honest in front of the Almighty God. And allow Him to direct your thoughts in your worship. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed, you stand. We'll pray. Lord Jesus, this morning we love You, as we've said. And God, we ask and we pray that You would move in this place. We pray, God, that as it pertains to our temple, Lord, that You would be moving and working even now inside of each and every one of us. Lord, and showing us and pointing out the things that ought not be there. And God, I pray that You do that work in our lives. And God, I pray that even right now in the hearts of maybe somebody who's hard to You and closed, someone who's locked up all the rooms and locked up all the doors, that right now, God, You are breaking down those barriers and dealing with that hard heart. And God, I pray today that person will get right with You and restore the sacrifice and the worship back into what belongs in this relationship that we have with You. And so, God, move amongst us, please. Do a great and mighty work here in this church and with these people. Help us to reach out to the world that we're still involved in. Pray You give us fruit. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.